When you hit a difficult situation, how do you respond? Well, hearing no responses, I'll make some suggestions. Do you sing and dance? No, good word. I don't either. You know, when somebody cuts you off in traffic, what do you say? Did a unwholesome word ever come out of your mouth? Or what about the guy that you're traveling through and you've got a solid double line on your side and he's got his cruise control set at 5 kilometers slower than what you want to travel? What do you do? Oh, you can't pass. You know, I think we could all tell stories this morning, but I invite you to wait till coffee time after the service in the hall, and then you can tell your stories, and then you can play the one-upmanship game and said, oh, yeah, you think that's bad? Well, let me tell you. You know that game. You know, some years ago, I was attacked by an angry dog. After 3 hours of surgery, I woke up with 66 stitches in my head, stitches in my arm, stitches in my leg. And people came to me and they offered all kinds of advice on how to deal with that dog in a way that it would not live and the owners didn't know what you did. I didn't do one of them. You know, when difficult situations come, no matter what they are, one actually discovers how deep your faith goes. When the disciples were in a boat, the wind was blowing, the waves were raging, and I can imagine there were white caps all over the place. And the disciples, I read, were terrified. Imagine, grown men, fishermen, in a boat, on the water, afraid. That makes no sense to me. They were really acquainted with being on the water. But the problem was, see, the ancients believed the demons lived underneath the water. And if they got capsized, they would be in the area with all the demons, and they didn't want to do that. And so they were more terrified of that than of the waves and the wind. You know, what they needed to hear in the midst of conflict and trouble was a word from Jesus. And that word from Jesus was, stop being afraid. Or another way of saying is asking a question. Why have you given yourself over to fear? See, in our life situations and circumstance, we often need to hear a word from Jesus saying, stop being afraid. Not because we're so smart. He is the bread of life. We can make it. It's not because we can figure everything out or that we have the right friends who can bail us out of our troubles that we face from time to time. Our strength, my friends, is in the fact that Jesus is the bread of life. He is present. He is in charge. And in spite of our frequent failures, even when we get caught up in traffic, God will supply and provide. Now, I like the book of John, and I've studied it for years and years and years. And I'm convinced that there is actually a direct correlation between our ability to be content in life and our ability to believe that Jesus is the true bread of life. He alone can meet the deep needs that keep us all going, that we keep hoping that others will help us out, but it's Jesus who comes into our lives. Now, how did the people respond to Jesus coming before them and declaring, I am the bread of life? Now, did they jump and cheer? Not so much. We can imagine their reaction. They turned to each other and they looked at each other and said, Jesus, who? Who? And they had this puzzled look on their face because they couldn't keep up with all that was happening. They said, what's he talking about? How can anybody come down from heaven? We know this Jesus guy. He grew up in Nazareth, just over the hill. We know Joseph. We know Mary, his mother and father. We even know what his father did. He was a carpenter. You see, the crowd had no understanding on the unique origins of Jesus. They even forgot about how the crowds, people, well, you know, the day they were so hungry and they were satisfied just a couple of days prior to this with a couple of loaves, small barley loaves and two sardines. Remember what Jesus did before he fed everybody? He took those small loaves of bread, those two sardines, and even though disciples said, what good are this little bit among all these people? What did Jesus do? He gave thanks. For what? That was enough. That's all he needed. And he could feed thousands and have people or have food left over that needed to be collected. Remember, they only collected the bread. You know what happens to fish after it's been collected in the fridge. And then you get to throw it out right away. The people's reaction was to doubt Jesus' claim. Like many people today, they simply didn't have enough information. They didn't have all the evidence, and they weren't looking for it either. Now, I don't know whether the people in the crowd actually could remember that night that the angels came, that night the shepherds came, that night the heavenly armies of angels sang out the proclamation of God, a word of hope to a lost word. If they did, they had forgotten all about it. And they had forgotten about all the wonderful things that they saw and heard Jesus do. They had forgotten about the miracles and all the lives that he'd restored. They had forgotten about all the feeding of the 5,000 people just the day before. See, the problem was they began to see Jesus as just an ordinary man, a good man, a teacher, but an ordinary man. Just like all the other boys that grew up in Nazareth. I wonder, after doing some mischievous things, did Jesus have a twinkle in his eye like small boys do? I don't know. You know, I've read some fanciful stories about Jesus when he was a boy, but accurate history is silent, except for the time when he was 12 discussing matters of deep theology with some experts who were astonished, of course, at his insight. You know, I'm always intrigued by some of Jesus' statements. Like the statement that he says, I am the bread of life. Now, I like bread. I baked that bread yesterday afternoon, and it was all that I could do to not cut into it when it was fresh out of the oven. Take some butter, slather it on so deep that your teeth marks show in the butter. Oh, I love fresh bread. You know, bread is a staple of life for me. And it's not about survival. Bread is one of my comfort foods. Now, Jesus tells those people who are listening, they're ignorant, they're untaught. We need to remember that he was speaking to a group of educated people who should have known better. They thought they knew all there was to know about Jesus' paternity, but Jesus insists to all these people, you don't know. You don't know the Father at all. Oh, that must have stung. Jesus says, you're just like your fathers. They grumbled before and after the manna was provided for them in the desert. He says, you got problems. Now, John has already said multiple times that people love darkness more than light, and we know that. They don't want to be exposed to the light, and they didn't want to hear from the Father. What these people needed was eyes to see and ears to hear. And so often we read in Scripture that the Lord opened their eyes and they understood. You know, Jesus is the only authorized spokesman for God. We cannot know God without eventually coming to know Jesus. You can't say, I love God, but this Jesus stuff, I don't know about that. My friends, Jesus is the bread of life. Now, I am a follower of Jesus. I am an unashamed follower of Jesus. I like following Jesus. And it's not because everything makes sense to me. I have questions about Jesus. And how I deal with some questions that I don't understand is I take them and I put them on a shelf. And I put them and I leave them there for a little while. And then I come and take that off the question off of the shelf, and then I work at it and maybe share it with a friend and we work at it together. And sometimes my eyes are opened and I understand, and sometimes I put it back on the shelf for another day. And that's okay. But I've found that the more I learn, I find that Jesus is foundational to who I am. Now, how do I respond saying that he is the bread of life? Well, I suppose it depends how hungry I am. Now, after not eating for a little while and I'm lost in the bush somewhere and I smell fresh bread or it just drops out of heaven, my body responds to fresh bread. And after eating, I love it, but after eating a freshly smoked brisket with all the trimmings, I'm not so hungry for bread. It doesn't have the same effect. As you think about hunger this morning, consider whether God has given you a sign that as the bread of life, he is looking after you. Now, sometimes the signs are really small. Like last week, we were coming back from the mountains and we had our scooters in a trailer and I don't know, all of a sudden I saw this flash of black leaving the trailer and I stop and I back the trailer up and I get up and I find, oh, what's this? This is the liner to Blenda's motorcycle jacket. Oh, sweet. Oh, good thing I have it. Sometimes it's really small, but sometimes it's big. You know, some time ago we were having some friends over for supper, and I had forgotten to put my hearing aids in my ears for supper. And all of a sudden, you know, I was having trouble understanding what people were saying. And in the midst of conversation, all of a sudden, I heard everything. Even the lady with the smallest voice, I could understand what she was saying. My hearing aids are in a drawer gathering dust right now, and I no longer need them. Wow. Both the small and the big experiences get my attention. And for the small and the big things, I thank God that I don't need any more hearing aids. And we got the jacket liner. A while back, a friend of ours gave us a jar of sourdough starter. Now, for those bread makers here, this is called a mother. And this morning when Blenda put this in, it was up to here. It's now gone up to here, and it will push the lid and come out the lid. It's a very good strain of sourdough starter. And if any of you need a really good strain, come and help yourself. I'm going to put it here. Take it home and enjoy it. You see, every once in a while, Blenda takes it out of the fridge and feeds it, and it grows because it's living. And it can nourish us with this delicious bread. Friends, Jesus had a plan. He fed the crowd with miraculous bread to get their attention. He drew them in slowly with additional blessings. And what is so amazing is that he offered himself, and he said, I think I can see him going like this. He says, I am the bread of life for you. Now, I have three questions this morning that only you can answer. And every answer is unique to you. One, how has God tried to get your attention? Number two, how has God drawn you into relationship with him? And number three, what is God inviting you to explore this week? In a couple of minutes, we're going to do something that calls us to remember Jesus and look forward to his return. For thousands and thousands of years, people all over the world have come to gather around the bread and the wine as a way of remembering our dependency, not on physical food, but on the spiritual sustenance that Christ provides for us. And so this morning, as you take the wafer that is maybe dipped in wine, and that wafer is placed in your hand, and then, or if you want to go on to the other side and the wafer will be put and you'll be offered the cup, take a moment and just slow down your life and reflect on what God invites you to do as your next step as Jesus, as the bread of life.